just going to look at a few points that have hit me recently again in 3 John. I'm going to read the first 4 verses to begin with. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The beloved Gaius, more than likely, was the person in whose home that local assembly met. Can't be totally convinced of that. But I want you to notice 3 things that John mentions about him that would be amazing to be mentioned about us. His walk was testified about by others. It was evident. It was manifest. It was a walk that was noticed and appreciated. And the Apostle John appreciates it as well. It was externally manifest because it was internally resident. You know, when it's all said and done, what is within will come out. Some people are very good at hiding, but I'm talking just generally in the world, but what is inside will come out after a while. And it leads in verse 4, this wonderful walk of this man. For the apostle to say, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. It's nearly identical to the verse 4 of 2 John. In the oldest manuscripts, I rejoice greatly that I have found of your children walking, some walking in truth, as we receive commandment from the Father. So a good teacher, when he is trying to establish important points, will often give examples. And here is the first of 2 excellent examples given in this tiny little letter of but 14 verses. And by the way, by one line, it is the shortest book in the original Greek in the entire Bible. But now look at verse 9. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us, talking nonsense, with malicious words or lies, and not content with that. He himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. You can't read this sad section and not be reminded of Colossians 1:18, can you? It's a verse that is found in so many churches behind the pulpit, up high for all to see. Colossians 1:18, that in all things he might have the preeminence. This is what happens when there is a person who is so out of control, a person that you honestly wish that you knew whether or not he was truly a believer, but he loved the preeminent spot amongst the people of God there. And unfortunately, he enters the New Testament hall of shame. He refused John's visit, and he refused others. He excommunicated from the local church anyone who would dare to differ with him. Utterly out of control. And he invented lies against John. It is a really extreme example, but I have in my time nothing to this extent, but I have noticed some church leaders who seem to love the preeminent spot, had to have the last word. Their decision had to be the one that everyone else followed. And so on the one hand, you have this beloved Gaius, whose walk is witnessed by all and celebrated. And now you have this man, Diotrephes, whose walk is witnessed by all, condemned by John, and you have to know, would cause great grief and anguish to those in the church, and perhaps especially those that he had read out of the church because they dared to disagree with him. But now notice verse 12. What an epitaph. Demetrius has a good testimony from all. And notice this, please. And from the truth itself. And notice this as well. And we also, meaning John, bear witness. And you know that our witness is true. And so after the very sorry account of Diotrephes, we have this wonderful epitaph to write over the life here of Demetrius, a good testimony from all. Everyone who saw him saw his walk and his testimony and again celebrated it. But he had a good testimony from the truth itself. It's a very unique line in Scripture. And what he is talking about here is not only the adherence to, but his delight in the truth itself. What Scripture said, what the apostles taught, the entirety of their doctrine, Demetrius delighted in. Could there be much better said about us? A good testimony of the truth itself. And now John, just to strengthen that concerning this dear man, he says, and he has a good testimony. We bear witness to it. And you know that our witness is true. It has made me sit back and ponder very personally my life. What would people say witnessing my life, my walk? Are there aspects that are negative, like this incredibly negative man, Diotrephes? Are there those things that people will look at and say, yeah, that shouldn't be? It's searching and it's solemn. The interesting thing is, we just don't have time to go into it, but the overall thrust of this letter is tender hospitality to those who are true teachers. Well, do you show a man like Diotrephes tender hospitality? No, a man like that has to be dealt with forcibly. But what do you think of someone like Gaius and someone like Demetrius? Beloved, you do, verse 5, faithfully whatever you do for the brethren, and especially for strangers who have borne witness of your love before the church, if you send them forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God, you do well. Because they went forth for his name's sake, taking nothing from the Gentiles, we therefore ought to support such that we may become fellow workers for the truth. Those who are called by God to a work, those who have been commended to the work of God and to the word of his grace, to preserve doctrine, teachers, to evangelize, to share the gospel, but also like we find in Revelation 3:2, in the strengthening of the saints. Beloved, what is our life primarily today? Is it strengthening the saints? Is it preserving this doctrine, like Demetrius, one who had a good witness from the truth itself? Or are we harming the fellowship? Searching words, I leave them with you today. Wonderful to be with you. Father, we give our heartfelt thanks for the great privilege of seeing these beloved saints again. We're thankful, our Father, for the assembly there, how we have loved it through so many years. We commit them, the leadership, and everything that takes place within and without, we commit it into your care. Thankful, Father, for a break and for refreshments provided, and ask that you will bless them to us and be with them in the meeting that will be with us in the meeting that will follow, as we ask this all in our Savior's name. Amen.